See what kind of special show you do. It would have been special, I'm sure. Well, it's a pleasure to have met Brother Justin. And if he hit the ground running this morning in Sunday school, if you missed it, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to it about the seasons. And all the messages this week will be available on the website. You have to listen to them, and I hope you'll, if you miss some, take the time to do so. Tonight at 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock the rest of the week through Thursday. But he's a blessing, and be prepared for what God has for you through him today. Come, brother, and preach to us.
All right, it's good to be in the Lord's house this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Thankful for the privilege and the pleasure of being here. Let's open God's Word to Romans 15 together. I want to show you a verse that kind of lays the foundation for revivals like this, or anytime you gather at the house of God or even in your devotions. The Word of God is so important. Before we read the verse, I would like to mention that my name is Justin Smith. My bride's name is Rachel, and our daughter's name is Lydia Grace. We reside, when we're home, we live in Peoria, Illinois, just outside of there. My bride is from Palmer, Alaska, long line from up there. They've been there in Alaska for quite a while, and so we do get the chance to go up there quite a bit and minister, as well as seeing family. And if you would, pray for my girls. I would appreciate that. They just need prayers for health, and so a quick reunion together. We'd love it if we'd be able to get them here. And then to find out more information about our family, you can pick up a prayer card, visit us online at heartforrevival.com. And if it interests you, tomorrow I have a broadcast going live called Betrayal Hurts. And so if you are going through a season of betrayal, my hope and prayer is that that message could help you. And again, you can find that on our website. I do appreciate the spirit that is here. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And it truly is a blessing to be around the folks that are here today. What a sweet place. And I can just tell that this is a wonderful place to be for a spiritual oasis. And so I pray that you'll continue to make it a point to gather together, be faithful, and just watch how the Lord is going to work throughout the seasons of your church life. Notice what it says in Romans 15 and verse 4. It says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." And what we need today is the Scriptures. We need to know what God has to say. It's not that we need a certain personality behind the pulpit, because we believe that God will use a willing, humble vessel for His glory. And as that vessel stands to proclaim God's Word, we want to hear the Scriptures. And it's through the Scriptures we will have hope. It's through the Scriptures that patience and comfort will come. And these things were written aforetime for our learning. This week, there may be passages that you know really well, like the back of your hand. There may be passages we look at that you have never heard before. You didn't know that that was in the Bible. But either way, let's be mindful. Even if we know the passage, there might be somebody here who doesn't. And even when we know the passage, let's not put our human reasoning to battle with the infinite reasoning and logic of God. He has something for us today, even if it's from a place that we know so well. God's Word wants to help us. God's Word wants to speak to us. So let's be willing to listen in today. Let's go to Acts chapter 16. And here in Acts 16, I have two questions before I read a few verses. The first question is, do you know that you have everlasting life for Jesus Christ? Meaning, are you saved? That type of peace can be given today. You can find the answers from the Scriptures and specifically from the passage we are looking at. And then the second question is for a believer. For the believers that are in here, here's my question. Are you exercising faith in your season of life? Again, if you weren't here for Sunday school, a season is created by God. There is a time and a purpose to everything, and God makes everything beautiful in His time. So here's our question. Are we exercising faith in God in our seasons of life? Notice what it says in Acts 16. Begin with what might be a familiar verse, verse 25. At midnight, Paul and Silas, two preachers of the gospel, they prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, verse 30, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. Are you saved? Are you exercising faith in your season? Let's pray together. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, as we bow before you, we thank you for meat from you, meat that we can sink our teeth into spiritually. And I pray that right now, this hour, that we would swallow it, that we would receive the nourishment that we need for our souls. And if there's somebody here that doesn't know you, I pray that today would be the day that everything changes for them. Today would be the day of their salvation. And then we pray for every believer in here, from the least to the greatest and everyone in between, that you would minister to us by your Holy Spirit through your word, challenge our faith in you in the midst of the seasons of life that we face. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to use an illustration that has been used by many preachers in the past. It is kind of a timeless illustration, in my opinion, and it's the illustration of using a chair to define dependence in God, trusting God, or faith in who our God is. See, God has given you an opportunity to believe Him so that you can be at rest. When it comes down to asking the question, are you saved? God wants you to know there is rest from your sins because there is forgiveness of those sins through Jesus Christ. And also, there's nothing more that you need to do to receive salvation because Christ has done it all. You can rest in Him. And then for the believer, you can rest by faith in God in your particular season. When you came into this auditorium and you sat down, you did not test the ability of that chair, more than likely. You didn't go around and say, I wonder if this chair can hold me up. You didn't go like this, slightly leaning upon it until you figured out that it could, and then you fell in. No, when you came and when you sat down in that chair, you exercised a simple faith. You exercised dependence. You were trusting in the ability of that chair to do what that chair is designed to do. Now, I know that an earthly illustration can have its faults because I've been there before when a chair did not do exactly what a chair was designed to do, if you know what I mean, and it gave way when I sat down in it. But the design of a chair is very simple. The design of the chair is to hold you up. And that's exactly what God's design is as you rest in Him. as you trust in Him, as you learn to depend on your God through all seasons, or maybe today to recognize you need to depend on His way for everlasting life, because there is no other way except through Jesus Christ to have everlasting life. As Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And therefore we exercise that word faith. I rest in Him for the salvation of my soul. Back up with me in Acts 16 to verse 16. It says, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, and show unto us the way of salvation. She, as being a woman who has an evil spirit, she is even testifying that these men know the way of salvation, because we believe the Bible, and the Bible says that even the devils believe in God and they tremble. And as we consider what these passages are teaching us, we consider the faith of Paul and Silas during all seasons of life. And I want to give something to preface the points. I want you to understand that the faith that we are going to see Paul and Silas display is a faith that was not in the church house. It was a faith that was displayed in public. It was a faith that was displayed in prison. It was a faith that was then displayed in the private home of a family. And your faith needs to be understood in situations outside of this place. It's easy to live the faith in here. It's a totally different thing to live the genuine faith outside of this place. So we're talking about dedication to God, faith, living for the glory of the Lord. And the very first point is being represented by this chair. Faith to step out. If you're keeping notes, we're talking about a faith to step out. And this is an exciting moment. The verses that we have just read point out that at some point, Paul and Silas were so committed to the gospel of Christ that they would step out and they would start to travel. They would proclaim the gospel as they went from place to place, and they were faithful in the ministry. And I am reminded how exciting it can be when you step out and trust God by faith. You never know what God is going to do through the surrender of an individual. It's a very exciting time, but stepping out can be hard at first. God, are you sure that you want me to do this or that? I was just with a pastor in the St. Louis area, and he said, Justin, when I was saved later in life, God was calling me to preach. And so there was a Bible college in our area of Illinois at that time called Fellowship Baptist College. I was working at Caterpillar, the pastor said. Peoria, Illinois is very well known for the headquarters of Caterpillar, the big heavy machinery. He said, I was working full time there, 30,000 employees. And I went to my boss and said, is there any way I could have a flexible schedule at Caterpillar? God is leading me to be a pastor, and I need to go to Bible college, and I need to learn what God wants me to learn. He was stepping out by faith. Well, if you know anything about big industry, and when you're one of 30,000 people, they'll just say, goodbye, see you later. Either you do what we want or you're gone. 2 weeks came and went. That man never heard anything from his leadership. He went back to his leadership and said to his boss, I need to make a decision. I will quit if I have to, because God is calling me to be a pastor. And his boss said, no. I talked with the higher ups, and they simply said, as much as you want to, you come in whenever you can, clock in, do your job, clock out when you're done, and come back the next day as you're able to do so. And for his Bible college life, until God led him away from there, he had an opportunity to continue to provide for his family in a most unusual way that others would say, there's no possible way Caterpillar, a company like that, would flex to your schedule. But they did. And I tell you what, when you step out in faith, you see God do some pretty amazing things. And here in this passage, it leads to a woman who is touched by God, the evil spirit leaving her with a commitment to Christ. Notice what it says in verse 17. The same, that woman followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. These are exciting days as they have stepped out in faith. But let me also mention that when you step out in faith, there won't just be days of praise, but there's going to be days of bother. There's going to be days of grievances when you commit to the cause of Christ. Here's the battle that some of us will have when we make a step of faith. We make a step of faith and we see the goodness of God. This is awesome. But then when the trials get on, it challenges our faith in God. And we in our flesh begin to question, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? The valley is trying to shape our mind to run away from what God has for us. And again, I think we can understand as we looked at the message in Sunday school that this season in my life as I step out, it will have days of praise. It will have days of bother, but that doesn't change who our God is. Notice in these days of bother, the hardship, it says in verse 19, when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone. What does that mean? That means there were men making money off of a woman full of an evil spirit. They were making bank off of this lady. Now they don't have their source of income anymore because this lady has been touched by Jesus Christ. This woman doesn't have the evil spirit anymore. This is a work of God in her. The masters saw that their hope of their gains was gone. They caught Paul and Silas, drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, brought them unto the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. Wait a second. These men aren't troubling your city. These men are setting people free in your city by the power of God. They are being used by the Lord to see a life transformed. And don't you love it when you see a life transformed? As the extensions of this church, i.e., you and your family, go from this place, and you shine as lights for the glory of God, you impact the world around you, and it causes a disruption in the way of the world, the way of the flesh, and the way of the devil. And those enemies, they don't like it when there's a disruption in what they are doing, in what their cause is. When you step out in faith, yes, there are exciting moments. Yes, there are days where you say, thank you, God, for working. But there are also days where persecution sets in. And Paul and Silas are facing it. It says in verse number 21, they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And maybe you're sitting here today and say, you are preaching Jesus to me. I didn't grow up learning about Jesus. I grew up learning about something else. Why do I need to listen to what you have to say about Jesus? Because with all the sincerity I can muster, there are lies in this world, and then there's the truth. And the truth is Jesus Christ, and the truth will make you free. You must believe to receive. Believe on the only way that God has created to have everlasting life. You must receive these ways. Notice what it says in verse 22. The multitude rose up together against them And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Paul and Silas, they've seen God do some phenomenal things. Now Paul and Silas are facing persecution, all because at some point they stepped out for God. God is the same. Yesterday, today, forever. He doesn't change. Even when your situation or season changes, you must understand that maybe God is leading you to a season of faith where you need to step out right now and simply trust Him. The second thing I want to mention, the second point, is a faith to settle in. There is a season of life where you must step out, but then there might be a season of life that God created to be beautiful in His time, a season of life that has purpose, a season of life where God is the same, even though you have changed. And this storm that is settled in causes you to understand, I've got to do the same thing I did when I stepped out. I need to rest in who my God is. I need the faith to settle in right now. You know what I'm talking about. Resting in God when things don't make sense. I can't believe this is going on right now, but God hasn't changed. I can rest in Him. I can depend on Him because He is lovely. He is beautiful. His way is perfect, and His word is pure. And according to His work, His way, His word, His will, I can settle in right now, even though everything is so weighty upon me. Notice what it says in verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas cursed God and said, I'll never be faithful to pray. I'll never be faithful to praise God again. And at midnight, Paul and Silas said, I'll give up on God because look at what God's done to me. No, I think they had a pretty good perspective of what seasons were like in their life. And in these days that we're talking about, even in a day, they find themselves moving from one season to the next. Look at all this excitement. Look at all this persecution. But it says in verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. What were they doing? In that moment of their life, they were settling in. Right now, I can't do anything to prevent this season. I'm in the stocks attached to the wall of the dungeon. My feet are attached to this place. I can't live in the freedom of life like I once used to live. And maybe something's got you in bondage right now. Maybe something is weighing you down because you've stepped out in faith and you started living for God. And the questions that have come to your mind are all saturated with lies instead of the truth. Give up on God. God is not worthy. Look at what God's doing to you right now. All of these lies that you are facing, you've got to handle them with the truth. And it might start with you resting in God and simply settling in and doing what Paul and Silas did. Paul and Silas prayed. Can I ask you, how is your walk with God right now? Being willing to communicate with God, even though you are going through a difficult day, a difficult season, you understand your relationship with God is vitally important, and you need that connection with Him that is only given through Jesus Christ by way of the Spirit, where we cry, Abba, Father, and you have this communication with God that changes everything. Paul and Silas, they settled in by lifting a voice in prayer, and then it says they praised God. Could you imagine what this moment must have been like? Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. That's one of the psalms. Maybe they were lifting a psalm in that prison, recalling the goodness of God. Lord, we'd like to trust in the things of this earth, but we are reminded that safety only comes from you. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord, from the Proverbs. You recognize that these men had such a trust in God and such a dependence on Him that they were willing to settle in, and they were willing to pray. They were willing to praise God in that prison. But there's a big point that we need to understand about verse 25. It says at the end of verse 25, and the prisoners heard them. As preachers, our congregations are observing how we are handling these seasons of life where we need to settle in. In our families, our children are observing how we are handling the storms of life. Our children understand the spiritual temperature in the home. And right now, we'd have to say, as we look at Paul and Silas, the spiritual temperature of their life was fervent. In the midst of this trial, in the midst of their prison, they are found to be those who are praying, those who are praising God, rejoicing in the midst of their situation because they've been called to a moment like this. God is not baffled. God is not caught off guard. As we saw in Ecclesiastes, the travail of men is understood. God hath created a season like this, and Paul and Silas are going through one of those seasons for the faith of the gospel, which challenges us. We can settle in to our storms. We can find ourselves depending upon God, not leaning unto our own ways, but depending on God, praying and praising, and thus influencing others around us for the glory of God. So maybe today God has you in a season where you need to step out. He's leading you to something big. But in that something big, yes, there will be days of excitement, but there will also be days of bother. Maybe right now you are in a season where you need to trust God. And this is simply a season. You can't change it. It's a season where you settle in. It's a season where you rest in God and exercise the only thing that they can't take away from you, and that's your relationship with God. The third thing I would like to mention is the faith to stick around and see a situation through. The faith to stick around and see a situation through. This is a scenario in our life where our flesh is threatening us to give up on God because of the storm we are facing. If we don't learn to settle in, we might face the tucking of our tails and running away in fear. We might face a lack of dependence on God in a moment that He has created to make His name known. The sticking around I am talking about is done by Paul and Silas, but it's also done by all the prisoners that heard Paul and Silas pray. The faith to stick around and see a situation through is very influential in a man's salvation. Notice what I mean. In verse 25, at the end of it, it says, "And the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed." This is a miracle of God, by the way. Just think about the earth tearing and the earth shaking. Think about how unkept and the situation is just so full of worry and anxiety, as you don't know what to do in that very moment except try to find something that is stable. But they're locked in with the stocks. They are enchained to the walls, and yet none of them are pulled in pieces by the splitting of the walls. In fact, all of their bands are loosed. This isn't a coincidence in timing. This is God at work on their behalf. Notice in verse 27, "The keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword," and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. This is why this point is important. This is a season where I don't necessarily feel like sticking it out or sticking around. And I need to make a decision to trust God, that God is at work in this moment of my life. As this prison guard awakes out of his sleep, he bases a near suicide off of an assumption. I am assuming that a prisoner, when something like this happens, is going to escape. I'm assuming they're not going to be around the prison or the guards anymore. And this prison guard was about to take his own life because he dropped the ball on the job. And as he's about to take his own life, notice what it says in verse 28. Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Imagine that, guys. Paul and Silas is there. The ones that were persecuted and imprisoned just yesterday. All of those other prisoners, whether guilty or innocent, they stuck around. They didn't run away. I don't know. It's got to be very influential to understand verse 25 that there was something about the way Paul and Silas prayed, and there was something about the miracle that God did through that earthquake that caused them to say, "I want to be close to whatever God is doing in my community. I want to be close to where the movement of God is going on. This is amazing. I don't understand it. What is going to happen next?" The faith to stick around. You know, in this congregation, I wonder who the next soul saved is going to be. In this congregation, I wonder who the next one is going to be baptized. I wonder the next family that's going to be reached. I wonder the next moment of excitement that's going to happen in this place. And every bit of that, you get to be a part of. The family fitly joined together. Every one of you having a purpose in this place, but a reach that somebody else does not have in this place. And you get to shine as a light for God as you delight in the Lord. Faith, not just to step out. Faith, not just to settle in, but faith to stick around and see a situation through. Faith to stick it out. Be faithful as believers, and that's going to take God. I'm resting in you in this moment. Because right now, I feel like I need to be out of here. Right now, I feel like I need to be gone. Don't allow that philosophy to drive you away from the very place where God is at work. There's one thing I mentioned next, and that is the faith to speak out. This is a big deal. In this story, there is a prison guard about to take his life. And as that sword is about to pierce his body, Paul doesn't have much time. Paul is in sight. Paul understands this man is about to take his life in verse 28. But Paul didn't say a word because he didn't like the guy. "That guy threw me into prison. You don't know what he's done to me. He was part of that crowd that beat up myself and my friend. Why should I speak to him the word of salvation?" You see, Paul's eyes weren't colored. They weren't fogged from understanding that he, Paul, was just like that man at one time. Paul was a persecutor of the church. His name used to be Saul before he changed the name, before the name was changed. And as he persecuted the church, at his hand, Christians died. And now he sees this guard about to take his life, and he has compassion. Or think of it this way. But Paul spoke softly so as to justify himself, that he delivered a truth. No. Now, this is not implying that you go around crying out everywhere you go with a loud voice. That's not what it's saying. The situation demanded the imperative. He had to get his attention. For instance, when I was a pastor, I had a wonderful assistant pastor. He is now a pastor in Wisconsin. We've been able to go up and be with him at VBS a couple different times now. This past summer, we went to our first meal with them on, I believe it was a Saturday night. And as we went to a meal in their little town, the ladies went one direction, and my former assistant and I were walking down the sidewalk with his two little boys. And as the boys ran off down the sidewalk, Daddy said, "Don't cross the road till I get up there." But those little boys, I don't know if they even heard what Daddy had to say. They just took off running, giggling, playing with each other. They're running down the sidewalk. They get past a car to turn toward the truck on the other side of the road that we were supposed to be in. But they didn't see the big truck moving down the road in their direction. So what does a dad do when he sees his sons about to jump out in traffic with a big truck about to come in their direction? Boys. No, not this man. Not this daddy. He bellowed out, "Stop!" as loud as his lungs could, because his two loved boys were about to enter into destruction. And those boys, they stopped in their tracks, and then they looked up and saw the grill of a big Ford F-250 that was about to plow them over. Thankfully, he wasn't going super fast because of the area, but it still could have been a very, very dreadful day for that family. The intensity of the moment called for the imperative voice. And at this moment, Paul sees a man who's about to take his life. And Paul cries with a loud voice, "Do thyself no harm." He doesn't preach the gospel in this moment. He speaks to his physical need. Don't take your life. Have you ever had God lead you to doing something in faith, settling in, or sticking around to ultimately speak out to somebody who needed Jesus? In my life, I remember a time when we had driven the Alcan. We had gone 62 hours one direction to Alaska for ministry, spent the summer up there, drove the 62 hours back. We were weary. We had a revival in Illinois after that. We had a camp in Illinois after that. And then after those two events, we were sitting there, or I was sitting there at home, and Rachel went off to get groceries, my wife. And I'm in prayer and study, and God is leading me through His Word to go back up to Alaska. Lord, we had just spent 3 months up there. We drove all those miles. We were at all those churches. Why do you want us to go back up there? And it's going to take all the money we have in our bank account to get the tickets to go back up there. And Lord, how is Rachel going to receive this news? You know she's the money mind in the family. She cares a little bit more about how we spend the money. What is she going to say? So Rachel came home, and I said, "Sweetie, God's leading us to step out in faith." She said, "What do you mean?" I shared with her the verse that God was sharing with me. I said, "I really think God wants us to fly back up to Alaska." "Why?" "I don't know why." She said, "Well, Justin, I trust your walk with God enough." "Really? Okay." So we got the tickets. We fly from O'Hare in Chicago up to Anchorage International Airport. We had our parents pick us up, but we didn't tell any of our churches that we were coming up there. We went to one of our supporting churches in Anchorage that morning, first Sunday morning. We showed up. The church family, like, "Brother Justin, Miss Rachel, it's good to see you guys again. But what are you doing back up in Alaska?" "I don't know." A pastor from Seward, Alaska, on the Kenai Peninsula. He's related to the pastor in Anchorage. He's also the head football coach in Seward, Alaska. He was with the football team way up Barrow, Alaska, tip-top North Alaska, for a football game. He couldn't make it back down to his church for Sunday morning, so he stopped in at the same church where we were at. "Brother Justin," he said, "what are you doing back in Alaska?" "I don't know." Here's what he said, "Justin, why don't you come down next week and start a school revival?" I said, "Absolutely. We love that." So we went down to Seward, Alaska. It's around the Resurrection Bay. Beautiful, beautiful portion of Alaska right there. Lots of beautiful places in Alaska. We went down there and we started on Sunday. There was a lot of teenagers there, and the Lord had me share some of my skateboarding situations from Pensacola days and how God allowed me to influence some skateboarders to Jesus Christ. So I shared that on Sunday, a couple different unique stories. The next day was Monday, and I went out with the football coach, and we're striping the football field. I'm walking with him. The head coach is doing the striping, just fellowshipping. The bell rings. School lets out. Out come some kids. And out came two, specifically the one that had been there on Sunday, and he had a skateboard in his hand. And my first thought was, uh-oh. I talked yesterday in my skateboarding days, and this kid thinks it was yesterday that I skateboarded. Like, I know what I'm still doing. He's going to want me to do something on the skateboard. So he's walking up, and as he gets closer, sure enough, he looks at his friend and says, "That's a preacher, and he can skate." You know what a Nehemiah prayer is, right? Just a quick prayer, like up to the Lord. "Lord, if this is going to bring you glory, help me right now." Because there's some balance that you lose over time, especially when it's something on wheels like a skateboard. It's different moving than it is to sitting still, all of that. And you might not understand these terms, and that's okay, but this is how the story went. He slid the skateboard to me, I stopped it. I got on the skateboard, and everything I tried, the Lord let me accomplish. I ollied, I pop shove it. I kick flip, I heel flip, I hard flip, I 360 flip, I put my hands on the board, do a handstand, flip the board back, land on it, take the board, slide it to the kid. The kid's mouth was open. My mouth was too on the inside. I thought, how did this just happen? But thank you, Lord. And that night, that friend of the skateboard boy came out and made a profession of faith. Amen. God is the judge, I know, I understand. But the Lord was working on his heart. Amen. Seeds planted, seeds watered, God gives the increase. Amen. So have you ever considered how stepping out in faith, settling in by faith, sticking around by faith, speaking out by faith, ultimately can lead by the grace of God, not of ourselves Amen. And not of works, but can lead to this, faith for salvation. This man, the jailer, undeserving, but Paul knew what it was like to be undeserving. He now has an opportunity to hear salvation. Notice what it says in Acts 16. Look with me if you would at verse 28. Paul cried with a loud voice saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he, the prison guard, called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Physically, he's already saved from death at that very moment. But spiritually, he needed to be rescued. And here in verse 31, it's not just Paul speaking out. It's in plurality. And they said, and can I influence you this morning to understand if you're just one voice like Paul speaking out, it might encourage a plurality of voices to speak out. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he, the jailer, took them, Paul and Silas, the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. Wow! Faith to step out, faith to settle in, faith to stick around, faith to speak out in this situation led to individuals being saved. Faith for salvation. Could you imagine what that moment was like when the jailer who'd thrust Paul and Silas into prison is now in the water washing their stripes? Imagine how the blood is congealed on their bodies. Not to be too gruesome, but to understand, here is now a prison guard saying, "I'm so thankful you spoke to me the words of life. I am so sorry that we did this to you, that I did this to you." Could you imagine Paul saying something like this? "But what if we didn't go through what we did? You now have had an opportunity to receive Christ because of what we experienced. And God put us in the right place so that you could hear the voice of the Lord in your life, Amen. The way of salvation." And it wasn't just this man getting saved. It was his house. And then it says in verse 33, it took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Trusting God through our seasons is very influential. Not just to the other Silases or the other Pauls, but to even somebody who doesn't know Jesus. This leads us back to the questions. Number one, do you know Jesus? Do you have faith, understanding you're a sinner, but he's your Savior? He died on the cross to rescue you from you, and you can believe upon him. So much more to say to that topic, and we'll talk about more. But maybe as a believer, I need to trust you, Lord. Only you know what you're going through right now. Rest in him. He is worthy. Trust him. This is my season. God, you haven't changed, and you make all things beautiful in your time. This was exciting as we looked into this passage to understand God was at work where seasons of faith were exercised. Faith in God. Take the encouragement, take the cheerleading. Trust him. He is worthy. He is wonderful. And let his name be exalted through your situation. Let's pray together. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we bow before you and we thank you so much for your great grace in our life. Maybe all isn't well in somebody's life today. I pray that they would recognize that you're still on the throne and that they would depend on you, trust in you, believe you, and maybe it would lead to their influence in other people's lives. I pray for that one in here who needs salvation. I pray that as seeds have been planted, maybe they've been watered, that today would be the day that you give the increase. I pray that the entrance of your word would give light, that it would give understanding to the simple, that you would be magnified through each of us. And as the pastor comes to lead this invitation as he sees fit, Lord, I pray that you would give us a spirit of revival. And we ask this in Jesus' name. As your pastor comes to lead this invitation,